Chicago. This is your new morning routine. Cap and J-Hood. Follow Cap J-Hood on Twitter and Instagram. Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago. Stream the show on the ESPN Chicago app on ESPN 1000. And now on FM at 100.3 HD2. Now, on Chicago's home for sports. David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood.
Good morning, everyone.
Woo! Bring them out, bring them out, bring them out, bring them out. Woo! Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out.
Welcome in to the Cap and J-Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app with David Kaplan, Jonathan Hood with you. We got Shay, we got JR, we got you for a game day Friday. Open phone lines for you. 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is the telephone number. Good morning, Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. Thanks so much for keeping the conversation going. And Cap, here we are, Bears and Giants on Sunday. But I know you, it's not just Sunday. You just can't settle, Cap. You just can't just watch the game once. You have to go through it through granular detail to be able to find out what went right, what went wrong in a victory, and whether or not things can change.
Jonathan, I watched the All-22 three times yesterday. Mm-hmm. Coach Wants, that was over at TV. We do our typical Thursday hit. And he actually believes that the Bears are going to win on Sunday. I do not. Mm. Now, again, I don't think the Giants are a great football team. I just think we're an awful football team. Mm-hmm. I want us to win. That's my team. I used to own season tickets to them. Mm-hmm. I love the Bears. They picked their lane when they started not going out and making moves to improve their roster and letting guys walk out the door for nothing, whether that was Allen Robinson or James Daniels, who they could sorely use on the offensive line. Whoever the guy was, Khalil Mack out, Akeem Hicks out. And they did not replace those guys because they are building something for the future. And that's a good thing. People who look at this team and go, I think they win 8-9 ball games. I think you're smoking dope. I do.
Smoking dope, you said?
Weed.
Uh-huh.
I think you're high as a kite.
Mm-hmm.
I do not understand what you're watching. I know it's a league filled with mediocrity. I get it. Could they beat the Giants? The Giants aren't a good team either. I truly wonder how we're going to stop Saquon Barkley. He's the best running back in football. He's a beast. They can run it right down our throats. We're not the best against the run now. Let's be fair here. Mm-hmm. What did the Niners run for? 200 yards?
Yeah. In a monsoon.
In a monsoon. Mm-hmm. So I look at our team, and in watching the All-22 yesterday, and I beg you, please, if you can afford to do it, buy the NFL Game Pass subscription. You get the All-22 drops every Tuesday. You get the condensed 30-minute version of the entire game. 30 minutes, you can watch the entire game. It goes play to play. Bam. Justin Fields looks horrifically bad. Yurko said this the other day, and I knew if I was the guy that said it, everyone would laugh and go, yeah, of course. Yurko says it because he played 10 years in the league and really knows the sport. Mm-hmm. And everyone's like, really? He's right.
What did he say?
Mitchell Trubisky is, when he was here, mm-hmm. I'm not talking about today. When he was here, Mitchell Trubisky's quarterback play, which was not good enough, was light years better than the garbage we're running out there right now. Now, I get it. Justin's in his rookie season, basically. He looks so lost out there. When you go back and watch the plays and you look, I went back on your advice and ran back. There was a play when he had the 29-yard scamper.
Yeah.
Dude, he had 4.18 seconds to throw. He had over 6 seconds before he crossed the line of scrimmage, but he was already under duress at that point. But if you go back and run the play,
mm-hmm.
from the snap to the time he is in the pocket looking. He's got, Tom Brady says the ball has to be out no longer than 2.5 seconds.
Yes.
He had 4.18 seconds. He looks right at Darnell Mooney as he crosses toward the sideline. A competent quarterback leads him, and the ball either sails out of bounds or is caught. You throw it where it cannot be picked off. He did not have the stones to make the throw. He's looking right at him. He looks down the field. He's got another guy that's open. You could overthrow him. It's going to be incomplete. Or you could hit him for a big play. He pulls it down again. Does not have the whatever to make the throw. And now pressure breaks down. There he goes. And everyone's like, "Wee, Justin got 29 yards. Yeah, because he was incompetent in the pass game.
Mm-hmm.
Incompetent. And I went back and I'm watching play after play after play after play. And I'm like, well, that guy's open. Yeah, there were a lot of plays where he was under duress. No doubt about it. David Montgomery had a play shortly before he got hurt where he tries to go around the left side. Braxton Jones looked like my 110-pound son, Brett.
Mm-hmm.
He gets twisted, turned down.
Yeah, brutal.
Brutal.
Mm-hmm.
He's a fifth-round rookie trying to play left tackle against men, against the best in the world mm-hmm. at what they do. And Houston's not a good team. Watching Justin play gives me real, real nervous feelings about the future. If they can develop this kid into Jalen Hurts or whoever it is, Luke Getsy's going to be a head coach real quick. If he can pull that miracle act off.
Sure.
Because right now, Justin looks lost. It's very concerning.
Well, with a young quarterback, Cap, it's all about trust. It's all about him trusting the offensive coordinator, what Getsy says. It's about him trusting the offensive line in front of him. It's about trusting the weapons. When you're watching a game, even just like yesterday, for instance, you're watching Thursday Night Football and seeing how quickly the ball gets out of the hands.
Tell me
right
about
to the
it.
Receivers, how quickly the receivers are able to get open, right? Mm-hmm. It's an ability to say, I can create separation away from the secondary to be able to get there. When the ball's out of the hand in 2 seconds or less, and you're saying, wow, that's what the NFL offense looks like, Cap. That's what you want from Justin Fields. And I will tell you that at some point, I hope that that's what we're going to see. But once again, I will look at this season as this is his first 3 games as a starter with nobody over his shoulder. Now, how does he adjust? This is not the public pushing him into the job like last year, right? Last year, it was, how do you start Andy Dalton? Give the kid a chance. And Nagy kept telling you, nope, we've been watching practice. This kid's not ready. Yes, he is, because we saw him at Ohio State. Of course he's ready. We know what Andy Dalton looks like. Put him in there right now. Nope, he's not ready. And there was so much backlash for not putting the kid in. All these TV shows that we watch,
every
right?
Every morning, you and I would look. We got, what, 3 monitors in here.
Yeah.
Another one out there.
Yeah.
Every one, whether it was ESPN, ESPN2, Get Up, Fox Sports.
Mm-hmm.
How can Matt Nagy not play Justin Fields?
A block.
Because he wasn't ready.
Yeah.
Matt wasn't a good coach.
Right.
Nagy, I'm not talking about Eberflus.
Yeah.
He was not a good coach, and he deserved to lose his job.
Mm-hmm.
He was right about the quarterback.
Yeah. Because he wasn't ready. Clearly, to start the season last year. And you know what? The coaching staff was not ready for him either. So they both were not ready for one another. So a divorce had to happen. And I get it. I totally understand. But the way I look at this, Cap, is that I understand what this season is. My hope is that the in-between that Justin Fields is going through, that's going to be able to get better as the season progresses. That's the hope.
I hope so.
Yeah.
But again, if you go back and just put the tape on, the tape will never lie to you.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't see male, female, color, none of it. It's just, there's a football player out there.
Ability.
Let's evaluate what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he doesn't have the best offensive line. Pass protection breaks down at times as you go through and watch it. And there's times you're like, oh boy, that doesn't look encouraging. But there's plenty of times where he gets his feet set, he looks right at the receiver, and it's almost like he's got a mental block. I can't make that throw.
Right.
Yes, you can. That guy's got 4 yards of separation. Drill it in there. Just let it rip.
Yeah.
That's what's scary.
Luke Getsy is the offensive coordinator for the Bears. One of the questions he was asked in his press conference yesterday, Cap, was the lack of pass attempts in the first three games. Is that not an indication of limited passing game? This is the thoughts from Getsy. All right, JR, let me get a little Getsy here. Here we go.
No, not at all. We do what we feel is best to help our team play a team football game, to help us win games. And I give a lot of credit to guys like him and those guys that are, I mean, receivers and Cole, like those guys got to do so much dirty work that maybe that they would love to be just running routes, catching balls. But like we got to do what's best as far as across the board, how we can take advantage of matchups sometimes. And sometimes, hopefully as we go along, it'll be different each week. And I think how we've kind of viewed it, it has been different each week. And maybe from an outsider looking in, just looking at it, it doesn't appear that way, but it really has been. We really have approached each game plan much different. And like I said, we put a lot on those guys. Like Justin has so much that he has to handle throughout the game plan, and he does such an unbelievable job with it. It's been more of a crutch for me because of how much he can handle. The receivers, the same thing. We ask him to do so many different splits and alignments and assignments, and they've just been they've been rock stars.
Okay, well, clearly not rock stars when you are this putrid offensively. See, you can't BS the audience. You can't BS the fan base. You can't do that. What he's talking about is, oh, they've been a rock star. He's talking about in practice? Because it's certainly not in the game.
Correct.
He talks about how much Justin Fields has to handle. That's the job. It's the job, Cap. I mean, you're supposed to handle that as a quarterback.
Correct.
I don't care if you're a rookie, first-year guy, 10-year veteran. You're supposed to handle that.
Correct.
So what you're doing is you're giving me the LinkedIn resume of what a quarterback is supposed to do. Handling the pressure and being able to go through routes and go through progressions and find out that's the job. But don't tell me that the offense is good or how things are working out well when we could clearly see it's not.
Correct.
Outside of the running game.
Correct.
I mean, the one positive I can give you that we've all seen, you could turn a blind eye to if you want to, it doesn't matter to me, is that the running game and the offensive line in the running game has worked. That's the only thing I know that works in this offense.
Correct.
And that's not good enough.
I talked to Khalil Herbert yesterday. He was on TV with me, and he could not stop praising the offensive line, which is what a good running back should do.
Sure.
I got nothing without those guys.
For real.
I get it. He also ran hard. He ran tough. He's shifty. He's different than Montgomery. Montgomery's more of a breaking tackle type guy. Mm-hmm. Montgomery, before he got hurt, made a couple moves. You're like, how the hell did he get through there?
Mm-hmm.
But the pass protection, there are times he gets enough time to make a play. There are other times where he's on his ass.
10 sacks through 3 games. Better than I thought.
Yeah. It's not horrifically bad.
No. But it's on Justin's and the offense to be able to connect. And so we're going to talk about more from Luke Getzing here, his thoughts. And also Coach Wanstead gave his thoughts about the Bears as well. But let's open the phone line, Shay. 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our phone number. Only 13 NFL teams are 2-1. There's only one undefeated team left in the NFL. Are the Bears, and is the Bears' record more impressive than we've given it credit for? Is the Bears' record at 2-1 actually more impressive in this league than we've given credit for? Let's get your thoughts on Justin. Let's get your thoughts on the Bears and how you look at this 2-1 record. 312-332-3776 is our phone number.
Let's go.
Cap and Jay Hood, morning 7 to 10.
Cap, Jay Hood.
Follow on Instagram at Cap Jay Hood.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Shot or no shot coming up at 8 o'clock. Welcome in. Glad that you're aboard on this game day Friday with Captain Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. 312-332-3776 is our phone number. The ESPN Chicago app, by the way, has Fast Break, brand new Bulls and NBA podcast available now Chris Black and I broke down the Bulls Media Day and also some of the storylines around the NBA. If you are a Bulls fan, go to the ESPN Chicago app and click Fast Break. All you need to know about the Bulls and the NBA right there on ESPN Chicago. All right, 312-332-3776. Cap and I are talking to you about the Bears' 2-1 record. We mentioned only 13 NFL teams are 2-1. There's only one undefeated team left. Is the Bears' record more impressive than what we've given it credit for? Cap, just these games have been razor thin. You have the monsoon against San Francisco. You weren't beating the Packers in Lambeau. And in the game against the Texans, where the Texans really needed a victory, the Bears were able to pull it out. So, again, very close, especially the first game and the third game.
Yes. Are they fortunate to be 2-1? Absolutely. Now, the question Shea asked us was, only 13 NFL teams are 2-1. There's only one undefeated team left. That's the Eagles. Is the Bears' record more impressive than we've given it credit for? No. Absolutely not. Kendall Vildor tipped a pass that got picked off by Eddie Jackson. Angelo Blackson tipped a pass that got picked off by Roquan Smith. Or we're not beating the freaking Texans, who are horrible.
Mm-hmm.
Awful. Justin has... The worst part of the whole thing is, through 3 weeks, again, there's 14 more of these to go.
Sure.
But through 3 weeks, Justin's the worst quarterback in the National Football League. The worst.
Man. And that's not hyperbole. That's from a numbers standpoint and everything else, right?
Numbers, eye test, yeah. You pick it, you can have it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was the guy the day they drafted him that was bouncing off the wall so happy.
Yeah.
He has not lived up to what we all have hoped. That's not being negative. That's not being a hater. That is the facts. I hope to God it gets better because I like the kid.
Mm-hmm.
I loved when they drafted him. I hope he can get this figured out.
All right, let's go to the phone lines and talk to you. 312-332-3776. Again, from my standpoint as a Bears fan, I look at it and I say the Bears are lucky to have two wins. But we know how difficult it is to win in this league. You'd rather be 2-1 than 0-3, that's for sure. But number one for me, I'll say what I said in July, June, and all throughout training camp. The number one thing is the development of Justin Fields. This is not necessarily a playoff team or a Super Bowl team, clearly. It's about his development, because his development tells you the trajectory of the Bears moving forward. Let's go to Buffalo Grove. Here's John on ESPN 1000 on Cap and Jay Hood. Good morning, John.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
We're well, thank you.
Good. Cap, out of all the film you watched, even the last two games prior to last week's, how many of those sacks or pressures are Justin Fields related, like him holding on to the ball too long? Because when I watch, I'm actually counting like 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, get rid of the ball, get rid of the ball, get rid of the ball. And then he just stays there like a statue, like looking around, not knowing what to do.
Valid point that you make. Yes, there are some where the protection breaks down and he gets swarmed. The Packer game, Kenny Clark reference, I've mentioned it 10 times, that they were getting a lot of heat on him. Game one, you had to throw out. It was in a freaking monsoon.
Gross.
Last week, yes, he was one of my favorite wrestlers.
Yes.
Last week, the Texans aren't a great football team, but that's a valid question, and there are times. I told Hoodie in our meeting this morning, the play where he gained 29 yards, I'm not talking about till he run ended. I'm not talking about till he finally broke containment and crossed the line of scrimmage. I'm talking about standing in the pocket, looking at receivers, 4.18 seconds. I timed it three times to make sure I was right. 4.18 seconds. He's got multiple receivers that he could throw the football to where he could deliver it, and either I hit the receiver or I missed him, but it's not picked off. You would have to throw, it would have to be you and I out there throwing.
Yes.
Just lead him, Mooney, and the ball will either go out of bounds or Mooney's going to catch it. And he does not pull the trigger.
A perfect example of that, if you don't know what we're talking about.
Thanks for the call.
Just watch the highlights of Miami and Cincinnati, and look how quickly the ball gets out of Burrow's hands, quickly out of Tua Teddy Bridgewater's hands, because guys are open, and they're like, okay, I can depend on you, Shea, because in 2 seconds, as soon as I get the ball, you'll get it in your hands.
And by the way, Joe Burrow is the most sacked quarterback in the league. His offensive line is horrible, but that they scheme a lot of things to get receivers open quickly and have Burrow ready to go on that first read where the ball the second it gets snapped, you know where it's going. Justin hasn't gotten to that point yet.
It shows you how the offense has evolved in the NFL, Cap. We're coming up, you know, especially if it's in the shotgun, if you're under center, it's the eight-step drop, move around, look in the pocket. You ain't got time anymore.
Nope.
Defensive players are way too fast for you to have the classic drop back and be back there and just wait to be able to get your receiver, right?
You're exactly right. And why do you think Tom Brady says it's got to be out 2.5 seconds?
Yeah.
I mean, there are times where he steps back and surveys and shuffles. He's not fast, but he's got quick feet. There's a difference.
Michael in Willowbrook on Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000. Hey, Mike.
What's going on? Cap and Hoodie.
Bow, 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 bow.
What's going on, fellas?
What's up,
what's
Michael?
Up, fellas?
Cap, I'm very, very happy that you did not expire, and I'm glad to hear you go up and going, my man.
Appreciate you, man. It was a lot easier driving today than yesterday when I almost bit it.
I'm still alive.
Still alive.
I will never retire.
Yeah, never.
Woo!
So for me with the Bears, I'm with you, Cap. You know, the 2-1 record is only, it's only 3 weeks in. There's still a whole lot of the season left. The eye test for me is that there's still a lot of questions to be asked. Whether in Justin's case, it's still, again, only week three. I feel like there is a whole lot for him to still prove. And I feel like there's still a lot for him to do. I'm losing my train of thought, and I apologize.
That's all right.
All good, man. You have a wonderful day.
I'm still waking up, boys. I very much apologize.
It's a long week at work. You get a chance, get home, have a cocktail, and relax.
Mike, New York or Massachusetts?
That's me.
Which one? Where are you from? Which one? Boston, right?
I grew up in Glen Ellyn, Illinois. That's where I grew up. Raised there. My whole family's from that area.
About that,
if I had a job, for every time somebody asked if I'm from the Massachusetts area, I would be a millionaire.
Wow.
Okay, that's just weird.
I would have bet.
you walk around sounding like John F. Kennedy, and you're not from Massachusetts.
Right.
What is that, Cap?
I would have said he was a Massachusetts.
Cap, JR, did I get that wrong, or does that a distinctive Brookline, Massachusetts?
It sounded very East Coasty, yes. Very much so.
It's our guy, Michael in Willowbrook. Thanks, man. Have a great weekend.
Hey, thank you, Cap. Well, I appreciate that. Okay. Yeah. Excuse me?
Exactly. Let's go down to the corner store and get ourselves a beverage.
Wait a minute.
A soda.
I love that, Mike. You can fool people at parties. Joliet, here's Eric on ESPN 1000. Hey, E.
Hey, what's up?
What's up?
How's it going, man? First time caller.
Welcome in, Eric. What's going on in Joliet, Sparky?
Thanks for checking in.
Not much, man. Just heading to work, but I just had one quick thought. What if you put Justin Fields, say, like on Cincinnati with the receivers that they got, like Jamar Chase and T. Higgins? Like, what would be the difference there?
It's a valid question. I don't know Hoodie's take on it, but if Darnell Mooney is open and he's not throwing it, why is he going to throw it to the other dudes?
He would get killed in Cincinnati.
He would.
You think you have problems with our offensive line? Look at their offensive line. I mean, they got to the Super Bowl with a rickety offensive line.
They did.
It's no better this year, quite frankly.
And they spent money to upgrade it.
Yeah. No. Yeah. So if you're asking, like, ask that question in 3 years, because that tells a greater story. Like, listen, Eric, you fan how you want to fan, but I will not watch First Take and First Things First and all these shows and for them to tell me that Justin Fields isn't the guy based on three real starts with a clean season. Not three games. 17? Yes. 3? No.
Eric, thanks, man. Have a great weekend. I hope you had a good week. Again, last year, every single day, national shows, should Justin Fields be the starter in Chicago? Week before the season started, we watched it every day.
Yeah.
He was not ready then. And he may not be ready now.
Is the Bears' record more impressive than we've given it credit for? 312-332-3776 is our phone number. Talking to you about the Bears because it is game day Friday. We're looking forward to the Bears and Giants. We're going to talk to you about that and take your phone calls. Also, Dave Wanstead stops by with his thoughts about Fields and his decisions. All part of the mix. Keep it locked. Cap and J-Hood.
Cap and J-Hood. J-Hood.
Is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch us and join the chat. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago on twitch.tv or the Twitch app.
injuries to Tua Tagovailoa. We'll talk about that this half hour here on Cap and Jay Hood. Don't forget Shot or No Shot at 8 o'clock right here on this wonderful game day Friday here on Cap and Jay Hood here on ESPN 1000. Cap, you got a chance to talk to longtime former coach in the NFL and college, great Dave Wanstead. Wani, especially in his post-coaching career, just affable, a lot of knowledge because he's seen so much over the years.
Yeah, he's coached in the Super Bowl, won a Super Bowl ring with Jimmy Johnson. You go back and look at his resume, he had a pretty damn good run down in Miami with Ricky Williams.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking about the run game yesterday. And he said they were playing on Sunday Night Football against the Bills. I think it was the Bills. And they were the underdogs. Bills had a really talented team. And he said, I'm listening on the headset. He goes, I didn't get Norv Turner or whoever my OC's way was. But I'm listening in the headset. We got the ball deep in our own end, and we're clinging to the lead. And I hear, yeah, we're going to try this gadget pass play. He said, I hit the little button where I could talk. I went, no. One guy gets the ball the rest of the night. His number's 34. I don't want to hear another play call.
Yeah.
He said, Cap, we ran the ball 14 consecutive plays with Ricky Williams. The last one, he ended up in the end zone, put it away, win, Dolphins.
Yes.
He's like, there are times you do what it takes to find a way to win.
The head coach has veto power. He has every right to do that.
What he said.
Right. You don't have to out-dumb the room. However, versatile offense is needed in the NFL in 2022. Dave Wanstead on feels and his decisions. You got a chance to talk to him. This is what it sounded like on unfiltered on NBC Sports Chicago.
It's not like he's making bad throws. He's not pulling the trigger.
Yeah. You just got to show him the film, and he's got to be so confident on those plays going into a game, and they can't cut it back anymore. They got to start adding to this thing because the competition's, the defenses are going to catch up to this running game a little bit. It might be this week, and we're going to have to throw it to win. And you just got to hope that the plays that you're calling are the ones you worked in practice, are the ones he's seen on tape, and the ones that he's really confident in making.
So what do you think you meant by that? I mean, that's a powerful statement. Ultimately, just saying, hey, man, you have to throw the football to help your chances to win against the Giants.
Yeah, and Dave watched a lot of the All-22, and he puts a lot of homework in. He's really embraced this media world.
Mm-hmm.
He said you have got to, and he believes that's what they're doing, Luke Getsy and Andrew Janoco, the quarterback's coach, put the film on, let it rip. We believe in you. You are our quarterback. When you see that guy open, no hesitation. Just go with the football. Period. But for some reason, and you played the cut the other day and you talked about it, he's seeing the mental skills coach trying to get his confidence right. They're giving him. Did you see the audio of, there was a video with, you could hear the sideline audio of Luke Getsy talking to Justin on the sideline.
Is this it?
I think it was.
No, that's not. No, but I did see that.
Where he said, we're good, and he's trying to pump him up with confidence.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really good piece of audio. Maybe JR can find it, where he is talking to Justin in the heat of the moment about what's going on the field and trying to be as positive as possible. And Wani's point was, dude, there's not some first-round pick sitting behind you. You are the first-round pick.
Yes.
We believe in you. Just let it rip.
Yeah. Ultimately, that's what it is, and it's about confidence, but it's also about trust, Cap. Can't underline that more. Trust.
Correct.
You can go in there as cocky and convinced as you are and indifferent to the media and indifferent to people that's criticizing you. That's fine. But you got to develop and you've got to produce. Right? You can't be arrogant and then be lousy.
Correct.
Right? Correct. And I don't mind his bedside manner. I mean, you want to be who you want to be, that's fine. But you got to produce.
I was talking to Lance Briggs and Alex Brown, and someone had told me they saw a Bears player out late. Clay Harbor tweeted it. He saw Justin out on a Friday night before the Packer game. And I said to Lance, does that bother you? Alex, does that bother you? Lance looked at me. He goes, Cap, we had a noon kick. I rolled into the hotel at 4:45 a.m. He goes, I wasn't coming from a family event or church services. I was out all night long. He said, do I recommend that's the way to do it? No. But guess what? I had 14 tackles in that game and we won. And I played good football.
Yes.
And Alex said, yeah, I rolled in about 15 minutes before him and I had two sacks. They don't care what you do. Just show up at noon ready to play.
That came from Harbor, huh?
That tweeted.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah. The Bachelorette, quite the NFL reporter lately, isn't he?
He is. He played 8 years in the league, and yeah.
8 years in the league. Does he know there's a code? 312-332-3776 is our phone number. It's not everyone's business, right?
Well, when you go out in public, everyone's going to know.
Yeah, I guess.
It was all over social media, not just him. It was all over the place.
Let us go to Nesby in Farmington Hills on ESPN 1000. Hey, Nesby.
Good morning, gentlemen. How y'all doing?
We're good. What's Thanks up? For checking in.
Hey, no problem, man. No problem. The thing is what I see with Justin Fields, it's his confidence. He's not confident, and you can't play fast when you're constantly thinking. I want everyone to pump the brakes because we gave Mr. Trubisky 4 years, all right? This was only his 13th start. Mm-hmm. We can only imagine what Mitch was during his 13th start. Pump the brakes, relax for a minute. Mm-hmm. Allow him to gain this. This is his this is his rookie season, 13 starts. And he's learning his second offense in 2 years. He's not going to get this offense down overnight, folks. This takes time. Everyone thinks because we got Getsy and all this, it's supposed to look like Green Bay and he's supposed to look like Aaron Rodgers. That's not going to happen. We're going to be realistic. He still has to develop. Again, this is still his rookie season. Give him time. Give him time. Again, his counterparts, they all started their rookie years, okay? All the lumps that they took their rookie years, Justin is taking now, okay? It's gonna take time. But again, the reason why he's not letting it rip and everything else, he's in his own head because he's trying to make the perfect play and he's steady thinking. You can't play fast when you're constantly thinking. Give him time. He'll settle down. He's a very smart young man. He scored super high on the Wonderlic. He'll figure this out. But it's going to take time.
Yeah.
I hope you're right.
Well, here on one end, you're not going to tell me to relax because that's not what we do here. I don't relax because I'm a Chicago sports fan. So on one end, there is no relax and there is no pump the brakes. What we do is every week we talk about what we see. But on the other end, as I've been saying on this show, we know it's a team in transition, and it will take time for him to develop because he's a young quarterback. So, on the other side, pump the brakes and relax. No, this is Chicago.
Right,
there is no relax.
This is a big boy market, and if you're going to be the face of a football team, you're going to be held to a different standard. By the way, the name Cole Kmet has come up.
Yeah,
where people are. He's a bust. He's this.
Oh, no.
Jacob Infante tweeted this, and Jacob is the lead NFL draft analyst. He does stuff with Windy City Gridiron, but he has the numbers on Cole Kmet as a run blocker. Mm-hmm. He's among the top three run-blocking tight ends in the National Football League. Again, there are some categories. He's number one. So while he may not be making plays down the field, no one is in our passing game.
Right.
But as a run blocker, he's been elite. So we have to give him some credit there.
Does the NFL still have a concussion problem? We reflect back to Thursday Night Football with Tua Tagovailoa and explain and unpack all of that coming up next. Right here on Chicago's Home for Sports.
Don't miss the conversation.
Cap and J-Hood.
Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Cap and Hoodie.
Bop, 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 bop. And listen to Cap and J-Hood at home and in the office.
Now, back to more Cap and J-Hood on Chicago's Home for Sports. ESPN 1000.
Shot or No Shot coming up at 8 o'clock here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app with David Kaplan, John the Hood with you on Cap and Jay Hood. Cap, it was horrifying to watch Thursday Night Football and see Tua Tagovailoa be knocked out of the game in the second quarter after a sack against Cincinnati. Josh Tapua, I believe that's the name, the nose tackle for the Bengals, sacks Tagovailoa. He goes down. And we knew it was going to be a hard hit, but when I saw his fingers go up, you knew it was neurological. You knew that it was concussion-like syndrome.
Like a seizure.
Yeah, you could tell, right, when you saw it. Because we've seen this before in football. Someone it's a hard foul in basketball. Someone hits the floor hard, and you see that. And that was hard to watch. What was your initial reaction to it? Because for me, the only thing I kept reflecting back to is Sunday when he couldn't get up, where I thought it was a concussion, and he stayed in the game against Buffalo, and then this next hard hit last night.
It was scary. It was immediately you thought back to last Sunday when he got hurt, and the Dolphins have pushed back that that was a head injury. I know what my eyes saw, a guy staggering off the field. They said it was a neck injury and he was cleared to come back and that he passed independent concussion protocols. I don't believe it. Now, again, I'm not a doctor.
Right.
Josina Anderson just tweeted that he was allowed to fly back with the team after he was cleared at the hospital. He wore a neck brace home on the plane. He wasn't at Dolphin Central. He was at a hospital in Cincinnati, Ohio. Mm. Those doctors are not going to put their personal reputation on the line and suffer a malpractice suit by allowing someone to fly home if they don't believe they should be cleared. That you're asking people to go against their oath as doctors. Mm. So I assume everything was fine to allow him to fly home. Do I think he's going to be playing football again next Sunday after two head injuries in 4 days? I would hope not.
You saw that Twitter was ablaze last night after this, started by Chris Davinsky. You know, Chris Davinsky, the guy that is the head of, you know, athletes and concussions.
Correct. There's a concussion institute in Boston that he runs.
Yeah.
Yes.
The former WWE wrestler, he had a concussion.
And he played football, too.
He got into it. He played at Harvard,
yeah.
If I'm not mistaken.
Correct.
Cap, he's first of all, before the game started, maybe 4 or 5 hours beforehand, he said that guy should not be playing. He says, based on what we saw on Sunday where he stood up, staggered, and went down again, that looked like a concussion. People thought that was a concussion, right?
Correct.
But he stayed in the ball game. So then you get that conjecture of, did McDaniel put him in there just so he can beat the Bills? Because it was so hot. The Bills just, they were melting on the field. It's one of the reasons why they lost that game.
Mm-hmm.
Cap, you're right. I'm not a doctor either. I just know when you stagger like that and you get up and look like a concussion. But again, he was cleared.
And then the league has independent people who they can buzz down from there up in the booth.
Yeah.
And they will watch with binoculars. I've watched a whole news story about this. Mm-hmm. And they will sit there and go, yeah, Buzz, get 87 off the field.
Mm-hmm.
He needs to go to the tent. And they will put him in and put him through the protocol, independent doctors. Again, I'm not a doctor.
I understand.
I have doctors in my family. My brother tells me, we take an oath. Our oath is to the patient. It is not to the Bears or the Dolphins or the Bengals, whoever it may be. So I believe when they let him fly home, they did it believing it was okay for him to do just that. I just don't think he should have been in the game last night, ever.
Miami coach Mike McDaniel after the game.
That was a scary moment. He was evaluated for concussion, and he's in the concussion protocol. He was at the hospital. I believe he's about to get discharged. That was an emotional moment. That is not part of the deal that anyone signs up for, even though you know it's a possibility in football to have something that you have to get taken off on a stretcher. All of his teammates, myself, we were all very, very concerned. So the best news that we could get is that everything is checked out. That he didn't have anything more serious than a concussion. He'll be flying back with us here on the plane.
Man, that's something, Cap. That really bothered me to see that. That just took the air out of the game for me to see him down like that. And by the way, Amazon, after the fourth replay, that's enough.
How many times did they run that? It was
we were at dinner, one of our kids' birthdays, and I have the game there. I'm like,
Jesus.
And I'm like, okay, I see him seizing up with his fingers. He's in a seizure of some kind. Not good.
That's enough. Yeah, like the fourth replay, that's enough. And shout out to Amazon after the game because they saw people thought Amazon was avoiding it, talking about Sunday's game. Michael Smith and others on that panel did a good job of breaking it down. I don't know if ESPN would have done that as thorough after the game and a game broadcast, but afterwards they did a good job on the panel to explain Sunday versus Thursday, whether he was cleared, was he not. And from a player standpoint, I think Fitzpatrick and Tony Gonzalez and Richard Sherman did a good job breaking it down. But that really bothered me yesterday, Cap.
Yeah, it was very, very scary. And athletes are always going to want to compete. They are.
Yeah.
The adults in the room, Mike McDaniel, whoever the GM is down there, Chris
Greer.
Mm-hmm. They need to police that. You got to be the parent sometimes.
Shot or no shot in 2 minutes.